Good to see everyone here today. For those of you who might have missed the announcements, our regular preacher, Jamie, is in Tampa visiting with his family, his parents, as they prepare to move to Texas. I know they've lived there for as long as I've known them, since at least before 87. So it's quite a change for them to be moving, and I know they're moving closer to Jamie's brother, Mark. We'll see how well that goes. A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I gave the invitation and used Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And I've been thinking about that verse a lot, talking about our need to be strong and courageous and remember that the Lord is the one who's fighting for us, not ourselves. And that passage has stuck with me for the past couple of weeks for a lot of reasons. Obviously, there's a lot of political things going on that divides the country. There are other things that are happening. But Lori and I were in the grocery store yesterday, and there was a woman, and she had a T-shirt on, and all it said was, "Be not afraid." And it didn't say where that came from. I assume it's from probably one of the evangelical churches in South Florida who does T-shirts and wants their members to wear it. But usually when they do that, there's some sort of a signature on the congregation on there, so you know which church they're promoting when they wear the shirts. Then I thought, she didn't look like a prepper, but that phrase, "be not afraid," if you know the prepper groups in the country, that's a phrase that they like a lot. There's actually a YouTube channel where this guy has, he gives reviews of all of this equipment that would be great if power goes out across America. And you have to live without power, you have to live without food, you have to live without all the things that we have become accustomed to, you know. Being able to go to a grocery store, that kind of thing. And so he ends every one of his videos with this phrase, "be not afraid." He actually quotes from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, which Avery read for us this morning. And she didn't look like a prepper. I mean, most of those guys have beards that are twice as long as, you know, as their shirts. And, but it just stuck with me. This phrase, "be not afraid," stuck with me. And if you look in the Bible and you do a search for "be not afraid" in the Bible, there's like 40 or 50 times where either "be not afraid" or "don't be afraid" comes up. And it makes a lot of sense, because think about what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? I mean, if Jamie was here, he would tell us he's afraid of spiders. We know Jamie's afraid of spiders. I'm afraid of heights. We went to London, fortunately, a few years ago before COVID, and we were always asked, "Are you going to get on that big Ferris wheel that's like six or so, it's like 10 stories high, something like that?" And I unequivocally said, "No way, no how is that going to happen." We did one once in Las Vegas, and I shivered the entire time. I could not handle it. I don't mind flying in an airplane. I love flying in small planes. I love being up in the air. I don't like heights. I don't like being in tall skyscrapers. There's something about it that I'm afraid of. And I'm sure we could probably talk all afternoon, everybody talk about something that they're afraid of. But in reality, the things that we are afraid of are really minor, aren't they? I mean, the inconvenience of being in a tall building. I know people who are afraid of bridges that go over bodies of water. I know my niece, when we went over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, I don't know if you've ever been over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. It goes from Virginia over into Maryland. There's this one part of the bridge where you're going along, and all of a sudden it looks like the bridge disappears. And then the next thing you know, you're going down into a tunnel underneath, and if you're not prepared for that, it's a little frightening. And I sent a picture to my niece, and she was like, "Nope, she's never going to do it." And she hates tunnels. And we used to go down to Gulf Shores from where we lived in Mississippi, And if you've ever driven that way, you know that there's a big tunnel underneath the Mobile Bay. And I, you know, being the loving uncle that I am, would always say, is that water leaking up there on the roof when we would go through that tunnel? And she would just be catatonic till we got back out from underneath that tunnel. But these kind of things are minor, aren't they? Think about what Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What is Joshua and the Israelites about to do? They're about to go into Israel, into the land of Canaan, and they're about to go and fight all of these people who are in there and take the land away from them. They have something to be afraid of because their lives are on the line. My life is not on the line when it comes to a tall building or a Ferris wheel. Unless he gets the wrong kind of spider, Jamie's life is not on the line when he runs across a spider. But the Israelites in the Old Testament, when we look at these instances of what they had to be afraid of, they had real things that they should be afraid of. We generally today don't have that kind of a concern that somebody's going to, in the middle of the night, break into our house, take us away to some internment camp, the way some people did back in the 30s and 40s. You know, we don't have the concerns that people who lived in communist nations did for most of the 20th century, that you know, the Soviets would come in because they disagreed with the government and take them away to Siberia. We're very lucky that we don't have those kinds of things to be afraid of. But we do have a lot that we should be afraid of. And so this morning, I'm going to look at some passages in the scriptures where we're being encouraged, both on physical things that we'll see some in the Old Testament, but also some spiritual things that we'll see in the New Testament. And we'll talk about some solutions to all that. In 2 Chronicles 32, we see almost exactly the same passage is quoted during the time of Hezekiah. It says in verse 7, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. You know, this was a time when Sennacherib was invading Israel and was killing and trying to conquer the land. In the British Museum, I think it was the British Museum. Yeah, it was the British Museum. They actually took Sennacherib's temple, the British did. They borrowed it, we'll say, and took it to London, and it's in a museum there. And you can actually see some reliefs that were from the temple of Sennacherib where he actually conquered Israel. He conquered Lachish was the big one. And it shows images of him conquering Lachish and images of him going through and causing them to kneel before him after he conquered them. And it showed images of him destroying Israelites because they wouldn't accede to him wanting to take over the land. And here is this prophet telling them, don't be afraid, because the one who is with us is stronger than that entire horde that is with Sennacherib. And if you go over, you'll see in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 32, but Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried to the Lord, and the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior and commander and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. And he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. How true is it that it doesn't matter what we're faced with? It didn't matter who Hezekiah was faced with. You know, from all historical accounts, Sennacherib's army at this time was probably one of the largest armies that had ever been created on the face of the earth. And he was conquering everything. And he fell short because Hezekiah knew that he didn't need to be afraid and prayed to God. And when he did that, God sent the angel, and the angel destroyed all these mighty warriors and eventually led to Sennacherib's own death by his own sons. You know, it's very easy for us. If we were in this situation and we were in Jerusalem and we were surrounded by literally tens upon thousands of the finest soldiers that had ever been put together, it would probably be normal for us to be afraid. It would be, you know, it'd be ridiculous for us not to be afraid. And yet here the prophet was telling Hezekiah and the people, don't be afraid because our guy's stronger than his guy. And that's exactly what happened. There's other places that have talked about some of these angels that were, you know, killing tens of thousands of the enemies of God. We can't stand before God. And that's what happened here with Sennacherib. He couldn't stand before God. So in our day, we may not have a standing army outside our doors, but even if we did, we know that God would be there for us. And it reminds me, if you remember in our class on Daniel that Jamie was teaching, when we get into the chapter of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that what did they say when they were told to kneel down before this idol? They said, you know, our God is going to save us. And even if he doesn't, they would rather be put to death than worship a false god. And that's the same attitude that we need to remember when we think about be strong, do not be afraid, is even if the earthly outcome of standing up for God is not what we had hoped, we know the eternal result of that is what we're looking for. Being afraid of something here on this earth is not something that we need to worry about, because we don't need to worry about whether or not we survive this life. We need to worry about whether we're prepared for the next one. The Proverbs writer said this in Proverbs 3, verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So when people are surrounding us, when our enemies are surrounding us and wanting to destroy us, we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be worried about that, because God is going to be with us and is going to take care of us eternally, if nothing else. And then we look on, and the passage that I think, when we think of this word, do not be afraid, the verse that always comes up is Jesus talking in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. For the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than sparrows. And we all know this passage. And every time this passage gets brought up, it's always brought up, you know, do not fear those who can kill the body, but are afraid, you know, have no power over the soul. We hear that often. And we're always encouraged by that we shouldn't be afraid of the government who might come in and do something to us because we're preaching the gospel. But The context of this is you need to boldly go and preach the gospel. I mean, look at that verse. What I tell you in darkness, go speak in the light. When I am whispering in your ear, go proclaim upon the housetops. It's our job as Christians to not be afraid of the consequences of teaching the gospel. And, you know, we've talked about this a number of times recently, how, the country is changing. It is becoming far less religious in general and far more atheist, far more agnostic, and far more antagonistic of religious people. And there is coming a time where it's going to be very difficult from a legal constitutional standpoint for us to go out and preach and teach the gospel. But Jesus here says, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the government. Don't be afraid of what's going on outside these doors, because they can only kill your body. And that's something that I think we oftentimes don't put enough emphasis on, is this is not just don't be afraid of those out there who can hurt you but not do something to your soul. The point of this passage is that you need to not let what's going on out there stop you from teaching and preaching. Yeah. I know there's neighborhoods where religious people are not allowed to go door to door and hand out flyers and tracts. It's something that Charles does in this neighborhood. Jamie's done it. We've passed out flyers encouraging people to come to gospel meetings, just come in general. There are municipalities here in South Florida that's not allowed. That it's against the law for you to do that. So should you just not do it? Or should you be brave and courageous and not be afraid of those who can maybe fine you for it, but not destroy your soul? Continuing on, we see in chapter 17, this is a little bit of a different kind of a switch in this. This is the transfiguration. You remember when Jesus takes some of the apostles and they go up onto the mount and they're by themselves. Verse 1 of chapter 17, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The reason why we need to not be afraid of the world, but be afraid of he who can kill both our body and our soul in hellfire, is because he is so beyond anything in our existence that we don't comprehend it. Peter, James, and John were put face to face with that, weren't they? They didn't even see God the Father in his divine glory. They just heard him. And it was enough to make them tremble and hide themselves. We see back in Exodus when God is delivering the commandments to Moses on Mount Horeb, that what's going on? They say it's like thunder and lightning. And the people were afraid and they thought Moses had died. And when Moses came down, having been with God and was glowing, they were even more afraid. When God, in chapter 20 of Exodus, started speaking the Ten Commandments directly to the people, what happened? They couldn't survive. They stopped. They asked Moses, you read us the rest. We can't listen to this because it's so terrifying. It's making us afraid. We just can't do it anymore. We, in this lifetime, have never faced anything like the power and awesomeness that our God is. And that's why when we see examples like here on the Transfiguration, we need to remember that we have to face God one day in judgment. And I would much rather face God having been not afraid of Satan's people here on earth and having done God's will here on earth rather than, just taking the easy route. We also see other examples of this. Paul faced this quite often. In our class, George was reading all the things that happened to Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. In Acts chapter 18, we see there Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, this is in Corinth, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." So we see Paul, there are times where Paul is terrified. We know that he had to leave Thessalonica because he was going to be put to death. We see other times where he's been stoned. And here in Corinth, God comes to him and tells him not to be afraid. He's going to be protected so that he can preach the gospel. And we need to take that example and remember that we're going to be with God no matter what. The other thing that we need to especially this week. This week, there's been a lot of Supreme Court rulings, and we're not going to talk about the Supreme Court rulings themselves, but anytime you have these sort of major Supreme Court rulings that changes the nature of the law, there's always trepidation. I know one of the things in the news business that we were looking at on Friday was, were there going to be riots because of the Friday ruling? And we figured no, because the Thursday ruling made guns available, so, you know. We figured there wouldn't be that many riots. And that's kind of a joke that nobody gets but my wife. So, but Paul told us in Romans 13 that we don't have to worry about the government. He said in verse 3, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." But Andy, how can our government be a minister of God considering all the horrible things that they did? I don't have an answer for you on that one. And the reason why is because we see God telling prophets in the Old Testament that Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's armies, were a minister of his to punish other countries. And sometimes, in order to fulfill God's righteousness, a bad country comes around and fulfills his righteousness, like we see with the Babylonian Empire. What is our solution? Paul says our solution is do what is good, and you'll have no fear of the government. You know, if you're not out there doing bad things, you're not going to have to worry about the government. You know, it's just like my mom always used to say, you know, that nothing good happens at 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you're out at 2 in the morning, you know, that's not a smart thing. Which was never a problem because I was always in bed at 10. So a couple more passages and we'll be done. Peter says, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled." No one is saying that we're going to lead an easy life as a Christian. There's going to be times where, because we are Christians, we are going to find ourselves in some sort of trouble. You know, we may find ourselves in a job that we can no longer work for because they're doing illegal or bad things. We may find ourselves in a neighborhood that we can't stay in any longer because they are doing bad things in that neighborhood and we don't want to be associated with it. We're going to sometimes suffer for God because of we're wanting to do what's right. And Peter tells us, do not be afraid of their intimidation. Don't be afraid of them trying to make you do things that are bad. Stand up for what's right. When you're in the office and they're trying to get you to go on their Friday night drunken rousing, don't do it. When they're telling the dirty jokes or telling their stories about their affairs, don't participate in it. And don't be intimidated to be forced into making them think it's okay. Be courageous enough to stand up and say, that's not what the Lord teaches, and I don't want any part of it. Be strong, be courageous, and do not be afraid. And finally, Revelation, I was afraid this morning in class that George was going to read on this, but he missed it by a verse. In chapter 2, verse 10, we often read chapter 2, verse 10 because of what it says at the end of the verse. But here at the beginning of the verse of chapter 2, verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I know we always want to end a sermon with rosy thoughts, but the writer here is warning us that that's not always going to be the case. And when we're about to be cast into prison for doing God's will, we need to do not fear. Don't be afraid. Stand up for God. Again, we live in a society that fortunately we don't have to be afraid of these things. We don't have to be concerned or worried for the most part. But that's not to say that's not going to change. And if it does change, I hope that every single one of you who are here today will not fear. Do not be afraid of what those people in the world will do to you, because they can't change the most important thing, which is your soul. They can't take you away from God. They can't take you away from the hope of everlasting life. So if you're here today, I know this is not a first principles lesson, and you're not a Christian, don't be afraid to take the next step. You've heard his word, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confess it, repent of your sins, be baptized, and as we just read, to be faithful unto death. If you are a Christian, you need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need is, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.